there was a little phrase in there that said to spread the, or tell the gospel, and it says use words when necessary, meaning that some people won't listen to our words, but they certainly watch our walk, don't they? Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Let's go back to Philippians, the third chapter this morning. Okay. Well, the gray one has to be up too a little bit. That's the volume for the speakers themselves. Training a new sound person. I think that's fine. Thank you. Let's go back to the third chapter of Philippians. I think I've been reading from the seventh verse, so we're going to do that again this morning. From the seventh verse to get the context of this again. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so last time in particular, we consider verses 13 and 14, the thought about one thing, which is to press forward, to reach always forward for the thing which is before us, which is the prize, which is Christ. And I notice this again when I go back and read through this every time, and I notice that sometimes, you know, we read through stuff and don't necessarily always pay attention closely, but in verse 8, I notice that he says that that I may win Christ at the end of that verse, that I may win Christ, the prize, Christ. That's what's before us. And so when he's speaking down here in verse 13 about reaching forth and pressing toward the mark for the prize that is Christ Jesus. And so this is Paul's desire, and this is what he's encouraging us, okay? And so I said this a lot of times as we went through this, but Paul writes this differently than a lot of other stuff that he writes, and that is he writes it from a very personal perspective. He says, I, and it's about, he speaks about himself. And then he comes to verse 15, and this is where, he kind of turns it back over to us again, if you will. Because in verse 15, he says, let us therefore. And so now he said, look, here's what my desire is. Here's what I want. And then he encourages us. And he says, let us, therefore. And he says, as many as be perfect. I think actually what this should say, it should say as many as desire to be perfect. That is complete. We've talked about that before. That word perfect, it means to be complete, or in the sense that he's using it to be mature. And so he says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, or as many as would be complete, be thus minded. In other words, have this same mind, this same intent, this same desire. So here's his encouragement for us. And I think this is really good, because we've talked about how each one of us has a responsibility for ourselves, and each one of us needs to take this personally to ourselves, to run that race, to seek that prize. And so Paul now is encouraging us. He says, for all those who want to be mature and complete, let's have this same mind. Let's have this same intent, this same desire. We want to have this same mind. And this mind that Paul speaks about, I was thinking back to earlier in Philippians. He said, let this same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And Paul, he has this desire in himself. So I want to be careful about trying not to think about this as some kind of a mind thing. You know, I don't want to get into that thought. But when he speaks about being thus minded, it's really about having the same intention, the same desire in ourselves. And so we want to make sure that that's what we're thinking about here. And then he goes on, if in anything you be otherwise minded. So if you have any other thought, any other interest, any other desire, he says, God will reveal this unto you. I appreciate the way Paul writes this. He reminds us that there's something to be had. There's something wonderful. And that we should have a desire to be reaching forward to that. Amen. And he encourages us. And then he reminds us that it's not his job to tell us whether we are or not. But there is one whose job it is, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so if, you know, I could try to discern, you know, what I think your desire is, if you're really desirous or not, and I could have, you know, think about that. But you know what? That's really not my job either. If it wasn't Paul's job, it's certainly not my job. But the encouragement here is that if we are otherwise minded, the Holy Spirit will reveal this to us. So as we study God's word, as we take in the truths of God's word, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And so when these things come, and I've talked often about, you know, there's correction in God's word, and this is kind of what Paul is talking about here, that we need to be corrected sometimes to be on the same path. I'm going to jump ahead of myself a little bit here, but in verse 16, when he says, let us walk by the same rule, the word rule has to do with a straight line, okay? And it really talks about a path that's marked out. And I think about that, you know, as we go along, sometimes we tend to kind of start moving off of that path a little bit. And God's word will correct us. He will remind us. Jack mentioned this morning how we need the reminders. Thankful for the reminders. We need to be reminded. And this is what God's word is doing for us. I want to go to Galatians for a minute this morning, because Paul taught, you know, these saints in Galatia, they had heard the word. They had apparently been running the race. I'm going to go to the fifth chapter, because Paul says some things to them here that just reminded me of this whole thought. In verse 7 of chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul says this. He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You see that thought here about being on the course, and then something came along, and as he says, hindered them, and it brought them off the course. And then he goes on, he says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And then he says this in verse 10, and I appreciate this. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. And I appreciate that thought about Paul, encouraging the saints that through the Lord, they will get back on track, that he will bring them back to this same mindedness, which is the same desire and intent to be on the course, to be running well. See, they did run well. And you know, every one of us needs this same kind of reminder and correction in our lives. As we run that course, and sometimes the enemy in some way will hinder us. And I think sometimes we all, we tend to think, well, those hindrances, they're always the obvious things of the world, but they're not. They're not. It can be anything, and it can sometimes be things that at the outset appear to be something good, and yet it can begin to hinder us in our walk, in our course. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. And so I emphasize that through the Lord, because Paul's confidence isn't in these people in themselves, but in these people because of the Lord and what he has done. And he says that you will be none otherwise minded. Paul is interested that the saints have the same mind, and that is the same desire to go after the prize, because that's what Paul wanted, and that's what he wanted for the saints that he wrote these letters to. He always has a desire for them to continue on, to follow after, to always be on the course. Back in our chapter, in verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same. And here he is again with that same thought. See, let us mind the same thing. Let us have that same intent in ourselves to go forward. And each one of us, right? So as an assembly, we gather together and we want to encourage one another, and we want to see people grow in the Lord. But the assembly doesn't grow in the Lord unless the individual members are growing in the Lord. That's the way that works. And so each one of us, but we want to have that same mind. He says, whereto we have already attained. In other words, as we go along with the Lord, and as we increase in our understanding, as we mature, he says, let's walk by that same rule. Let's stay on that. And that reminded me that the Lord has some things to say to some churches. So we're going to go to Revelation, the third chapter. Actually, we're going to go to the second chapter first. Revelation, the second chapter. The Lord has something to say to some churches. And these are reminders for us. Again, when we read God's word, and this is the thing that I've been encouraged about a lot, I guess, recently. When we read God's word, to take it for ourselves, and to really take it personally. So in the second chapter, he's speaking to easy for you to say Thyatira. And down in verse, I think 25 is where I'm going to go. I should read some above that, I guess. Verse 24 of Revelation 2, it says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, that as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, and actually the word already doesn't appear in the original transcript, so it just says, but that which ye have, hold fast till I come. Hold fast. The problem, the difficulty is that so many grow in the Lord and then allow the enemy to begin to rob that from them. And this is how it works. You can think about this in a natural a little bit, I guess, first, but if you quit eating and quit taking in the nutrition you need, you'll eventually begin to just kind of shrivel up, if you will. Your body will just atrophy, basically. And spiritually, it's kind of the same thing. If we fail to continue to take in God's word, which is our, if you'll allow me to say this, our spiritual nutrition, if we fail to keep taking that in, then spiritually, we're going to see that everything just kind of shriveling up. I don't even know a good way to say it better than that, but we need to continually take in what God has for us. We need that continually. See, that thing about laying hold and then hanging on to what we have, he says, hold fast. We need to continue to hold fast what we already have, but then we have encouragement in God's word to continue to grow and continue to lay hold. And so as we go each step, we want to hold fast there and move on to the next step. See, that's what Paul's talking about when he says, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching or reaching forth, right? He wants to continually move forward. And you might think about that as forward and upward and not take steps back. But if we allow the enemy to rob us by robbing us, for example, of our time of study in God's word and so on, then we will see the results of that, which we will not be holding fast. And we're encouraged. And so he encourages, by the way, also in the third chapter, we're going to go there. And so the church of Sardis. In verse 2 of the third chapter of Revelation, in verse 2 he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. See, this church, he's not terribly happy with them, but he still encourages them, and I think that's wonderful. It doesn't matter where we're at today with the Lord. If we have gone some distance and now the enemy has drawn us back for some reason, the Lord is still encouraging us, no matter where we're at in our walk today, encouraging us to hold fast that and move forward. Hold fast and let's move forward. Paul encourages us so much to move forward. Also in this third chapter, and then he writes to Philadelphia starting in verse 7. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I think I'll read from verse 8, I guess. So this is to the church of Philadelphia. And he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. See the thought about keeping there? And then he says this in verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold that fast. This is an encouragement to us. Whatever we have received of the Lord, whatever level we have laid hold of in our lives, to hold fast. And then Paul, like I said, encourages us to continue to move forward. The enemy is so astute, and he wants to rob us, and I think you understand this, but he wants to rob us because that will rob our Lord of his glory. All of this, by the way, so all of this about a prize and running the race and laying hold, all of this is for his glory. See, when we get to the end of this and we attain that prize, as Jack has often said, we're not going to sit down and say, what a good boy am I? I heard a man one time, he said something like that. He said, well, you want to be able to, I can't even remember how he said it now, but basically boast essentially in heaven. And I'm thinking, no, we won't be doing any boasting in heaven. It's for his glory. Mm-hmm. See that when we get to that place, it tells us in the word that he's going to put us on display to display what a great person we are. No, to display his grace and his mercy and the work which he did. And so why do we want to do this? Well, we want to do this so that he will get glory. Yeah. And the enemy wants to rob us because he wants to rob him of his glory. And so if we allow the enemy to rob us, then we are also allowing him to rob the Lord of his glory, the glory that he would have by the work that he accomplishes in our lives. So we want to be encouraged by the word of God to continue. I'm going to go to Colossians for just a minute, the second chapter. Paul, the more I read and study what Paul writes, the more I recognize intently he is trying to encourage the saints. And so we are being encouraged also. Verse 5 of Colossians 2, Paul says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then he goes on to say, "Beware lest any man spoil you." So he's encouraging these saints. He says it's a joy to behold your order and the steadfastness of your faith. You see the holding fast there? And then he says, as you have received Christ, whatever we have received, let us walk in that. And this is also what he's telling us in our chapter in Philippians. I'm going to go back there to Philippians, the third chapter again, to read that verse again in the, excuse me, in the 16th verse. He says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk." So remember, by the way, that Paul has clearly stated, he says, "I don't claim to have already attained all of it. Don't pretend to have already reached the pinnacle, if you will." But he says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." The same mind in us that is to continue to move forward. And then he goes on in verse 17, and he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Paul's desire and Paul's life was to be an example. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians because he says this in a different way in 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to read this so that we understand what Paul's really saying here. Because we don't follow a man, we follow the Lord. But notice what Paul says in the first verse of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And this goes back to that same mind thing that Paul's saying. He says, "I want you to have the same mind. I want you to be of the same mind." And his point is that he is following hard after Christ. We saw that earlier, that thought about pressing on to follow hard after. And that's what he's doing. He says, "I want you to go with me." This is the encouragement of Paul. And you know what? We encourage each other in the same way. I want to go on with the Lord. I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me. I don't want you to follow me, but I want you to follow as I follow Christ. I want you to go with. And that was Paul's desire, that in all the stuff that Paul writes, you begin to really understand and see that his desire is that the saints would follow on, that they would continue and be encouraged to keep on the course following after Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Spread the gospel and use words if you have to. Well, these saints in Thessalonica, they were examples. But see how they received the word. That's why I started in verse 5. The word came to them in power, and they received it and became followers. And they received it's funny, they received the word in much affliction. Kind of reminds us a little bit about something that was said this morning, and yet with joy. And then their walk became an example to others, so much so it says that all around It says, every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. Paul's desire for his life was that it would be an example to others. When he preached to others, he wanted not just his words, but his entire life to be an example to them. An example of the power of God, an example of those that follow Christ. And those that heard the word, they also became examples. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. There's one of the things I so appreciate about Paul. He writes to a young man, Timothy, and I love the books of the letters to Timothy. Paul encouraging a young man who would follow after him, who would come after him and continue. In verse 11 of the 4th chapter, Paul says to Timothy, these things command and teach. So he's been instructing Timothy. He says, these things command and teach. And then he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that is manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You see the intention of Paul here as he encourages this young man for his life to be an example. He mentions a few things, and I think he mentions these few things because they cover a lot of ground. In word, we've had a lot of thoughts about this as we study Proverbs on Sunday evenings. The importance of what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs mentions so much about the lips and the mouth and so on. The importance of what comes out of our mouth. And it says in conversation, that is manner of life, the way that we conduct our life. And this covers so much ground. You see that you could say, well, you could try to nail this down to one thing, but it's really not. It's all the things in our life. How do we live our life? What's the basis of our living? He says in charity, love, showing the love of Christ, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then he encourages them to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and to not neglect things. You see the importance of the encouragement. And so Paul encourages us, and the Holy Spirit encourages us today from God's word to continue on. I'm going to go one more place. I'm going to go to Philippians, the 4th chapter. I know I'm poking ahead a little bit here, but I just want to read this verse in the 4th chapter of Philippians. In verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul speaks about things that are learned and received and heard and seen. And seen. Paul wanted his life to be an example. We want our life to be an example to others as well, that they can look at our life and see the life of Christ. For God's people, we want to be an encouragement to them. We had a good start this morning about being thankful, even in the difficult times, and being willing to recognize that God is in those times. And you know, as we do those kinds of things, other people see that and are encouraged. Tom mentioned about being encouraged by a man who was born without any legs or arms. I've seen him. There's actually some YouTube videos of him. And not only is he not sad, he is quite overjoyful when he talks. And he's a great speaker. And you know, the Lord, he's reminded that God created him. And he does whatever he can for the Lord. I just appreciate. So whatever things, you know, that we come through and whatever our response is, how are we living our life? Well, it also reflects in those things that happen in our lives and how we react to those things. And that can be an encouragement to others. It can be an encouragement to our brothers. It might be an encouragement to some that don't know the Lord to find out what it is that we have that allows that in our lives. And so we can speak to those around about us. But the great encouragement that I wanted to get from this morning's lesson is encouragement to hold fast and to move on. To hold fast and to move forward, to reach out. Early mentioned that in when she was given the introduction to the Wednesday night study that we're getting ready to start. And the reaching forward, how important that is. And it really is that we stretch out. Sometimes God stretches us a little much. But we need to be willing to stretch out to what he has put before us. To me, this was very encouraging. I'm going to quit this morning. Are there any questions or comments this morning?